Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I love the Lord tonight. Amen. Are you in love with Jesus? Are you truly in love with Him? Amen. It's an awesome thing to be in love with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. I don't come to church out of obligation, but I come with expectation. Amen. I appreciate the brethren and their labors. Brethren always trying to do something, make a difference in God's kingdom. Amen. So just continue to pray for us and our endeavors for Christ. Amen. And to be utilized for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, to bring glory and honor to the kingdom. I watch how the demonic spirits work in men's life. And if you're a man that can observe spirits, people go through life, they never observe things by the Spirit. They never make observation and they never consider. Brothers and sisters, I hope that I'm not the only one that thinks like this or considers. But what motivates you to do what you're doing? Do you ever consider what you're doing yourself? Not what Brother Dale's doing or not what Brother Andy's doing, but do you ever stop and consider, why am I doing what I'm doing? What's motivated me to do what I'm doing? What is the benefit of what I'm doing? You know, does it benefit me or does it benefit others? That's a good place to start right there. You know, if most of our endeavors are for our own benefits, we're surely not walking in the Spirit of God. Because when He walked, He never walked for what was His own benefit. He walked for the benefit of others. Amen? Now, I know that we're benefactors according to the Word of God of the great blessings, but it came forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, I'm not seeking after those things are given to me because I'm a king's kid. Amen. And the blessings of God have been given unto us. But we want to make others benefit from the things in the kingdom of God. But as I said, watch things by the Spirit. If we could learn to watch things by the Spirit and see what is the motivating factor of what we're involved in and what we're doing, then sometimes we could start considering. And then when we get a little bit at least doing that, then we could start saying, what spirit is this of? What spirit is motivating me to do what I'm doing? What spirit is it? Now, the thing is the spirit of God, the spirit of Satan, and the spirit of you, the human flesh, is all wanting to have a preeminence in your life and use that life for its preeminence. So what is preeminent in your life? Is it you? Are you the preeminent one about you? Are you the one seeking after recognition, honor, glory, prestige? Are you seeking after recognition? You see, then that makes you the preeminent. Or is Satan utilizing your flesh and is he bringing things to himself about his will, his ways? You see, sometimes that's why we say we examine what's going on. Who's getting glory for what I'm doing today? Who is receiving the glory for my actions and my motivations in what I'm doing? Who's getting glory? Is it the devil? Is it God? Or is it myself? Now, the thing is really, brothers and sisters, when I start teaching on body, soul, and spirit, many people sometimes have the problem in differentiating between the soul and spirit. Many theologians say there is no difference between the soul and the spirit. It's a terminology you could use of one and the other. But see, that's incorrect. But as hard as it is, the Bible said the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, it takes a mind of revelation and a mind of Christ to take those two and put them asunder or to put them apart that we could differentiate between the two. And we've done this many times here in the house of God. But when we start rending the difference between the flesh and Satan, it's almost the same way. Yes, we can differentiate. We most definitely can. And we could set them apart. And there's a way to do that in the mind of God. But it's as hard to do that as it is the soul and the spirit or the flesh and Satan, because they're pretty close to one and the same, especially if you yielded to fleshly exuberances. Now, the thing is, you say, well, Brother Rob, it seems like you talk about these things a lot. Well, there's only two things to talk about in the Word of God. In that perspective, it's the two powers. It's the powers of darkness and the power of light. The powers of darkness is made known and manifest through fleshly ambitions and fleshly will. And the thing is the yielding of the members of the flesh over to the darknesses of the satanic powers, then there's a manifestation of Satan. Or we could say, your father, the devil. There's not many things when you're talking about, when we're looking off and scoping into eternity, to really discuss and to look at, except who you are and what you are. And this is why I say so many times, the Bible said you look in a mirror. Man look in the mirror, walks away, not even remember what he is of or what he is. You know, why are those things written there? Because that's man. They don't even consider. They don't examine. They don't ponder. They don't think. You would look at a man that was walking through a minefield just whistling, going along, whistling Dixie, so to speak. You think, man, this guy is flat crazy. Man, he's not even have no fear of his own life or his own limbs or his own members. Man, what is wrong with this guy? Just walking out through a minefield, like not caring. Now, see, you would look at something like that with an observation like, wow. This guy's out of his mind. But then yet, brothers and sisters, the minds could maybe take his life or take some of his members, but surely can't take his soul. But then how much more so would we take and consider a man walking through the valley of the shadow of death and not considering? Would that be even more so as a foolish thing? But as we use an example for such, and then we find ourselves walking through this world and through this life, a life, as the Bible says, full of vexation of the spirit. You see, it isn't vexation of the spirit when you're in the flesh, but it's a vexation of the spirit when you're in the spirit. When you're in the flesh, you don't see nor perceive nor understand nor comprehend the spirit walk, the spirit life, or the spirit way. Never partook or never tasted. Oh, it's so sorrowful to people that really never tasted of the world to come. You know, the Bible said that some have tasted but partakers, and they find no forgiveness in this world or the world to come because they have been partakers and tasted of that other world. Amen. But there's some that haven't even been fortunate to do that. And they would have been better off not to taste, lest they surrendered and submitted to it. But as we talk about spirits, and the conversation in this church speaking about spirits and how spirits move, how they work, how they speak, how they manifest, how they empower themselves, and where they empower at, isn't foreign teaching, doctrine, preaching in the house of God here? I mean, we should be people, and I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor nor the teacher, but Jesus is the pastor, he is the teacher, he's the shepherd. And he's the one that speaks forth. And I would say that you should be very well indoctrinated and very well versed in the manifestation of spirits, of powers of light and powers of darkness, that you should be able to perceive and understand and comprehend. Then the thing is if I was in a classroom and I had a man in my classroom that was blind, and I was up using the chart on the back wall and I'm writing everything, and I could go to him at the end of the class and I say, well, did you see and perceive what I was speaking about? And he said, well, I have a little problem. I really couldn't see, so I couldn't stay with you because of the graphs that you were using and the visual illustrations that you used, and I tried to listen. But see, I had a man with a problem, a visual problem, so he did not perceive what I was trying to teach. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see, or have ears, you don't hear. So there was a problem with perceiving what the Spirit of God was doing in the earth. It was very evident when they screamed, crucify him. It was very evident when they screamed out those things that they did not see nor hear of who he was and who he is. Amen. So we find that this is not a new revelation or a new problem in this day and hour. It isn't a new problem, brothers and sisters, that people don't see, people don't hear, people aren't led by the Spirit, people are not walking in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it's very, very few that are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God are very small numbered in our day and hour, to be numbered as a son of God. See, numbering ourselves as a son of God isn't a confession of faith that, you know, bless God, I'm a son of God. Brothers and sisters, a son of God is one that's led by the Spirit. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's not because of some faith, it's because they're in the Spirit of God, and they're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it's an easy thing to discern the spirit of a child of God, a son of God. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's very simple and it's very easy. So again, speaking about spirits, and as I said as an opening question to you somewhat or a thought, I said, have you considered any time through your day today what spirit was leading you? What spirit was directing you? What spirit was speaking to you? What spirit motivated you? And what spirit did you yield to the most with the greatest impact on you in this day? You see, sometimes people are very well influenced by the fleshly spirit, and they find an exuberance in the fleshly spirit. I had a man speaking about his wife, and he said, you know, he said, now, using this to identify the fleshly spirit, he said, you know, I talked to her about getting her work done around the house, getting the house clean, maybe preparation of dinner and things like this. A woman's duty and obligation in a marriage is to take care of those matters and take care of those things. It's not burdensome to a woman that's in the right mind and the right spirit. It's truly not burdensome to them. I mean, they say, this is my obligation and my calling, and they do it with a joy, and they do their duties and the things around the house with a joy, and they enjoy serving and feeding and doing the things to please their husband as unto the children and as unto the Lord. But as they do these endeavors and things, and they do this and know that it's some sort of an obligation with a joy, and they surrender themselves to that and give themselves to it, then we look at this and we understand that they get a sense of satisfaction. Amen. A sense of accomplishment that they've done something. You see, when I labor for the Lord, brothers and sisters, I don't labor grudgingly or out of obligation or such a way. I do it with a joy as unto the Lord. I give my body to the Lord. I give my life to the Lord. I give my substance to Him. I give Him my all. When He came up to the rich man, He said, give everything that you've got. Give it all. Give it all. And he couldn't do that. You see, that's all God wanted, was Him to give all. I've truly, brothers and sisters, you say, well, you're testifying. The Bible said you testify for yourself, your testimony ain't true. I say I've given my all to the Lord. I've given Him everything, my substance and everything that I've got. And you say, well, you're testifying yourself. No, I'm testifying to Him, because man can't do that. I'm testifying of His grace, His mercy, His power, His infilling of the Spirit life, His infilling of the Holy Ghost, and Him catching me away. He had to do it. I couldn't catch myself up in heaven or climb up any other way. He opened the door. He made the way. He brought me in. He let me partake of it. He let me taste of it. He let me drink of it. He let me eat of it. And I found satisfaction there in a dwelling place, and He hid me in. Amen. And now what I'm doing is testifying of Him, because I've given Him everything. And I'll tell you, that's a terrible trade-off. You know that? It's not for me, but for Him. You know, if you dragged an old car in to the dealership and you dragged it down there with a chain that's broken, the transmission's gone and everything, and every fender in it's beat in and the glass is all broken up. You drive them, the guy gave you a brand new car and you drove off and said, boy, he didn't get too good a deal. He let me swap this straight out. You know, brothers and sisters, what did you give when you gave your life as a living sacrifice? What did you give? You give nothing, nothing whatsoever. That's just your reasonable servant. That's all you can do. And give it to Him and give it all to Him 100%. But let's speak about this for a moment. So we're speaking about considering what we gave ourselves to this day. Now, there are things, brothers and sisters, of obligations that we will find that the flesh man is endeavoring in. See, Jesus came as the Son of Man and the Son of God. The Son of Man was relative to the things of the flesh. You understand that? And the Son of God was relative to the things of the Spirit side. Now the thing is we know that He was not begotten by the loins of humanity or man, that He came by the Spirit as the Spirit overshadowed Mary. But it was still numbered to that side of things, because the Bible said that He came in the image of sin. That's flesh, the image of the sin. This is why we don't esteem flesh or exalt flesh or lift up flesh, is because it's the image of sin. It doesn't matter how you paint it. It don't matter how you comb it. It don't matter how you flesh. It's still flesh, and it's still influenced by the satanic powers, and it's temporal. The Bible said it's like a flower. You know, it shows its beauty for a moment, and then it withers away. Don't put no trust in the strength of the flesh or in the beauty of the flesh. As many women go through life because they've got some kind of physique or form or some kind of figure or some kind of look, they put their trust in everything in that. It's temporal. They'll grow old and wrinkled and wither away. Don't put no trust in that. You know, and that would sound offensive maybe to the elder, and I don't mean that, because really, if you want to look for the beauty in a woman, you'll find it in the gray hair, and you'll find it in the skin that's lost a little bit of its pigment, because you'll see usually some wisdom that comes there to get them through the course to endure through this world. And that's when you'll truly find what God would find something as beautiful. Amen. But when you go by the flesh and the motions of the flesh and the strength of the flesh and everything the flesh got to offer, just remember, it is all one thing, temporal. It's all temporal. It's all vanishes. It's all here for a moment. Don't put no trust in it, because there's no strength in it. When you eat a meal and you could stuff yourself till you're hurt and you're full, but you're going to be hungry again. It's temporal. It's temporal. It's not going to satisfy for very long. But if you would eat of what the Lord has, you'll find a satisfaction that'll be with you forever and ever. Now, speaking still about the things by the Spirit for a moment, just to give you something to consider, to look at, and to analyze as you go through life. Because again, I'm not speaking to you as a heathen or not the elect of God. I'm speaking to you as the elect of God. What have you yielded yourself to? What spirit are you of today? Who have you give your members to this day? Now, I started to say that there are some obligations. And if we would go back and use the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, we would find that these two had a position to satisfy. What was the Son of Man's position to fulfill and to satisfy? It was the abolishing of death. Now, the thing is we could make it that simple tonight that we could talk about in your flesh is to do one thing is to die. And that's on a daily basis to mortify every single day the deeds of the flesh. It's a daily thing. You can't say, I've done it last week, I conquered it last week, I've done pretty good next week, or I've done good for a month, and so it don't work that way. Because when it comes back alive, it is made manifest that that's what you are of when it came back alive. You see, it was meant that it never died. It was never gone. But you got to kill it and keep it gone, keep it dead, keep it buried. The Bible said that when you turn and do evil, that all of the goodness and every good thing that you've done is forgotten about when you turn and do evil. And again, you know, you think, well, you know, just as long as the last thing I done was good, then all the evil's forgotten about. It don't quite work that way. I'm going to do this bad deed and leave your hip over here, boy, do something for the Lord. Amen. It don't quite work that way. God's a little bit smarter than that. He knows your spirit. He knows who you are. Brothers and sisters, one thing we won't do is we will not reason with God. We're not going to reason with the things of God. I'm going to read a scripture, but I'm going to finish with some thought here. But this is a scripture I'm going to read. I'm in Luke 18, and I'm going to read it the first verse. And he says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Amen. I hope you perceive what the parable is teaching there and understand, if the Lord allows me to comment on it. You say, well, why did you stop and read it? Because he told me to. Amen. Beautiful parable right there. And when you think about God, and as we petition the throne of God, amen, how he's going to deal for his elect, amen. Praise God. I'm thankful that I know that God hears our prayers and our petitions, and he grants them to us. It's a beautiful promise right there within his word. Now, still speaking about spirits for a moment, brothers and sisters, and the reason I'm teaching this tonight, because it's very apparent to what I observe as a minister and as a pastor and as one that's watching after your soul, that people are not aware of spirits. And they're not aware of the motivating spirits in their life. Now, the thing is, brothers and sisters, you could be motivated by the flesh to eat. And if you don't eat, your flesh will die. It'll perish. We have to eat. Now, the thing is that you say, well, any time that we eat natural food, it's a fleshly thing. Well, you see, it could become a spiritual thing, brothers and sisters, if you had been walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit, and you put food away to bring that fleshly mind and man under subjection to the spirit world and the Spirit of God. And that's a spiritual endeavor when you tell the fleshly mind to shut up, that you're not the head of the house, you're not leading this camp, so to speak, and you're going to shut up and you're going to submit and you put him under. But then the Spirit of God could say it's time to eat for you could have strength. And it could be something that we do, a natural fleshly thing, because it was commanded by the Spirit to do that, to fulfill that perspective, because this temporal body is relative to this earth, and it receives its power to motivate or to move or to have strength by consumption of food. Now, we do know that supernaturally that God could take a man and take food away from. We find the Lord Jesus going 40 days without eating. Amen. And the thing is that takes a supernatural action. Some of you say, well, I know one that fasted this long and that long. And people got different ideas what they call fasting. And we use the term fasting very loosely. And many times we call fasting, and it's more so the proper terminology would be a supplication. You know, and we can't say, well, I fasted this, or I fasted coffee for a week or a year or whatever. And that's a supplication. The terminology is okay to use it in such a way to show that you have put something down. But again, there are spirits that are utilizing your body. And as again, I said that in the flesh, we could meet the need a fleshly need, and it wouldn't be numbered to us as a fleshly action of a disobedience. Usually when we speak about the flesh, it would be a disobedient thing to the Spirit, because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. The flesh is contrary to the mind of God. And the thing is usually when you see empowerment in the flesh, it would be seen as an adversary of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it could be something to be made spiritual. Usually when we think of the marriage relationship, brothers and sisters, and I'm saying the marriage relationship, or if we would go over and we'd even use the term immorality, or we would use the term fornication or adultery, we find that there's something that in one perspective it's ordained of God and even commanded by God, the woman being commanded to give the benevolence unto her husband, and that there's a time that she could not hold that back from him. So there's a time that it's commandment by the Spirit of God for the woman. Then there's a time that the man is to abstain by the Spirit of God to the woman. So these are all things that are commanded by the Word of God. There's nothing left out. But then yet we see that some of these things that are even ordained or commanded by the Spirit of God, that they become a violation when they're in the flesh. You see, the word lust, brothers and sisters, you know, we say a strong desire. There is a desire that one could have in the ordination of the mind of God that it wouldn't be an offense to the spirit world. But then yet, when it becomes a strong desire, then it becomes an offense in the spirit world, you see, and becomes a violation. Now, with that said, I'm hoping that you perceive what little bit of a foundation I might be saying there on that, that you can understand. Now we're going to go back to our original thought about spirits. Now, there are things that we find that a man could be pressed in necessity, and he would find that the spirit of his flesh would be saying, hey, you know, it's time to take care of this matter. Being pressed, you know, the restroom, and even there's a time of eating to gather a strength or to keep a strength. And it could be oppressed by the flesh, but it kept in subjection and order, it wouldn't be a violation to the spirit world. And then yet, it can get out of order and become a violation. So now we're looking at our day again. You're looking at your day. I'm considering my day. The day starts setting. What have you done today for the Lord? Is there anything numbered for you in this day that you've done is unto the Lord? You know, we can all look at that at the end of the day with probably a little bit of disappointment. We might say, one say, well, I went to work. It's an obligation, because if I don't work, I'm worse than an infidel if I can't provide for my own household. So I was working today and I done it as unto the Lord. And I say, well, praise God. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. It says if we work, we labor that we have to give. That's why we work. If you labor outside of any other thing than that, if you labor to meet your own needs, then it's not in the mind of God. And you say, well, I don't really care for that. Where do I come into play? Dead. That's where you come into play at. You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be crucified. You're supposed to no longer live. The life that you now live, you're supposed to be living by faith in God. And it's no longer you living, but now it's the Son of God living. What did the Son of God come to earth for? Look at his labors. What were they for? What was Jesus' motivations? What was his labors? And what was the purpose of his life? What was it? And you say, well, you know, he had to have room for himself somewhere for some time. Every single thing he done had a purpose to do one thing, to bring glory to the kingdom of God. Every single thing he done. He didn't go in there and turn water into wine for he could drink and party with him. He done it to show the miraculous power of God. And the revelation was to bring the joy of the Lord and to show the Spirit of God. Because that's what wine has to do with, if you would understand that. But then the Bible said it becomes a mocker. So the thing is, which one is it in your life? Which one is it in my life? You see, we find in one place it could be a blessing, in another place it'd be a curse. Why? Because what spirit are you of? And what have you given yourself to? Who have you yielded yourself to? What have you given yourself to? What is your motivation of your day? What makes you do what you do? Do we give one day to the Lord and six to the belly? Is that okay? The Bible says he worked 6 days and rested one. What was his labors? And what were they for? You see, brothers and sisters, we need to consider, is it easy enough to serve God one day and give six to the flesh and we make it in? Is that how graceful and merciful our God is? Is that giving our life as a living sacrifice? So then when we go on beyond that, we've got to get involved with thoughts. How do we think? Is Jesus the high priest of my confession? What is my confession? He gives me the fruit of my thoughts, and what are my thoughts? What are my mind thinking on? What is it meditating on? And if he's going to give me the fruit of my thoughts and my thoughts are fleshly, then he gives me the fruit of my fleshly thoughts. So then he gives me fleshly things, and that's the fruit of my thoughts. And then what is it? It's something that testifies against me. So where are my thoughts? The Bible said, think on these things. Think on things that are virtuous. Think on things that are righteous. Think on things that are godly. Think on things that are holy. Have you been doing that today? Have you done that? Were you on your knees today laying tile? Were you on your knees today staining a floor? Were you on your knees today? Whatever you were doing today, were you doing it? Were your thoughts upon the Lord and honoring God? You say, well, that's easy for you. You know, you're a preacher. I haven't seen anything easy about this so far. Making money's a cakewalk unless God puts the judgments on you. But brothers and sisters, laboring and working and doing those things, man, that's a joy. Why don't you try travailing for souls? Why don't you find that you're looking in the eyes of the Lord and you find people that are getting cut off from God and stand there and find the chastening of the Lord saying, what have you done? Have you travailed between the porch and the altars? Have you cried out? Have you stood in the gap? Have you held the sword back from blood? And then all of a sudden you'll find something that you can't go and work with your hands to satisfy. All of a sudden you can't find that your financial ability doesn't meet that. You see, sometimes we analyze things wrongly. Sometimes we look at things not thinking what matter that it is and what kind of barren. Now back to the question, what about our day? What have we today to bring glory to the kingdom of God? What have we done today to get God's attention in our life this day? Did we do some evil act that got his attention to possibly curse, cut off, blow upon what you do, your substance and what you're doing? Or have you done something to bring glory and honor to the kingdom of God? You say, well, Brother Rob, it's not that complicated. I'm a working man or a working woman. I've got to work. I got to labor. I got bills. I got things to take care of. It's pretty simple. I went and fulfilled that and worked all day. Praise God. And everything's fine. Well, that's good. I think that's great because others that don't do that sometimes bring a reproach to the kingdom of God. But is that all you've done? Is it finished? Is it completed? Are you satisfied with that? If you're satisfied at the end of the day with that, then you're not listening to what spirit is motivating you. What if you're led by the Spirit of God? Do you think a man that's led by the Spirit of God is not going to be a man that fulfills the natural belongings? You see, a spiritual woman and a spiritual man are going to satisfy every need. There's going to be the man's need and the woman's needs are going to be met. It's going to be done in order and in balance and without bringing a reproach to the kingdom of God. You understand? They're going to eat and they're going to be well taken care of and there will be a satisfaction in those things. Their physical needs are met in health and all those things. He said he wants you to prosper and he wants you to prosper in soul and in spirit. You understand that? These are the things. You see, we cannot ever have to turn away from the spiritual leading to fulfill another dimension. When you're in the Spirit, all of the dimensions are fulfilled and taken care of in order. We never have to depart from the spirit world to meet the order of anything and any of the needs that are met of God. The thing is sometimes some things might look strong or hard or complicated, and it's just Satan trying to hinder, just as he did in Daniel when he prayed. And there was a prince and a power of Persia that hindered the prayer, even though the messenger of God was sent the very moment he prayed, but there was 21 days. But just think, brothers and sisters, you might find a little travail, you might find a little bit of this or that, but God is allowing this to show his strength to you that he's got it under control and that you don't have to intervene for him. God allows us to come to places, brothers and sisters, that we cannot and don't have the answer. He likes that place for you. He likes for you to come to a place that, like, oh my, what do I do now? I have no place to go. What are you going to do now, God? Where am I going to go from here? What am I going to do now? You see, God likes that place for you because then you really grab onto his hand. You really get serious. I find that some people have to find that in near-death experiences. Some people find that in afflictions and sickness. The Bible said, them that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. You know, that's the mercies of God. Sharing with my father about his brother, watching his brother just get eat by cancer. The last time I seen him, he said, hey, don't shake my hand. He said, man, my body's so sore and so hurting everywhere. Every bone in my body's aching. He said, I'm strung out on morphine. You know, they keep me pumped full of this stuff. I heard, you say, God, what a terrible thing. It was God. It was the mercies of God. You see, in his suffering, it gave him a chance to pay for his own wickedness and own wretchedness and his own ungodly lifestyle. It gave him a chance to pray for it on this side. Brother, so you say, oh, that doesn't work that way. Well, you better read your Bible. Well, I know that we've got to come in by the blood. We've got to be purchased and come by the blood of Jesus. I'm not bypassing that, brothers and sisters. But when they bypass that, when they bypass the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't yield to the Spirit of God, and they continue continue on in their wicked ways, ungodly ways, and they continue on in those ways, brothers and sisters, then what takes place is they're going to have to pay a price. What do you think tribulation's about? When the Jews are going to tribulation, why are they going to tribulation? To pay with their own blood, because they denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would a man be considered a Gentile? Why would he go through a tribulation of cancer or suffering of such of those kind of things? Because they merely didn't accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody was praying for their soul and standing in, believing for them, and God was so merciful and so kind and so loving that he allowed them to suffer in their flesh that they could cease from sin. That's an awesome God. Let's give him a hand. Amen. That's an awesome God. Hallelujah. And you say, I don't want to see nobody suffer like that. I don't want to see nobody suffer like that neither. I want to see people repent of their sins and get serious with God, and they can walk with the Lord in divine health and prosperity and blessings of God by walking and yielding themselves into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A man can pay for his own sin when he tramples the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under his feet. And some won't get that opportunity. Amen. Some won't even get the opportunity to do that. That they're simply cut off and put aside and cast out and cannot find repentance on this side or on the other side. That's terrible. That is a terrible place for a man to be. Some don't think that that's possible or it's there, but the Bible teaches it very clearly. It says that his spirit doesn't always strive with man. And it said that some can't find this repentance. And it said there's no forgiveness on this side nor on the other. Amen. In this world or the world to come, the Bible says. And there again, we've got to differentiate things down by what and who and what dimension it's speaking of. But let me say this. We're speaking about spirits tonight. We're talking about you as an individual. We're not talking to this sister over here or this brother over here. I'm speaking to every single one of you in this house of God tonight, and saying, did you consider your thoughts today? Did you consider who made you think what you thought? It's like a man, when I was speaking to him about this one time, he said, listen, he said, I do what I want to do, and there ain't nothing using me. There is nothing using my body. He said, I do what I want, I go where I want, and I think what I think, and I do this and that. And my reply was, well, that's the devil for sure. That's a perfect fruit, a perfect thing of the devil. Sons of God aren't that way. Sons of God don't do their own thing. They don't think their own thoughts. You see, we're pressing into the mind of Christ. Why are we looking for the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters? For we could let his mind be in us. What is his mind? It's his thoughts. What is his mind? It's his way. See, his way are not my way, nor man's way. So man's ways and man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. We can't keep trying to convert our thoughts and make them religious. See, Satan wants to transform your thoughts and make them religious. God wants you to transform your thoughts into his thoughts. You see, there's a lying sign and wonder. There's a lying spirit. There's a familiar spirit. And he'll make you think that you're thinking like God. He'll get you on a course thinking that you could do this or you could do this and you could do that to please God. You can't do anything to please God except one thing, and that's die. That's it. Mortify the deeds of your flesh. Now you've done something to get God's attention. We can't please God any other way. Well, I could give my body to be burned and have not charity, profit you nothing. I can give all my finances, my money to the poor, and the Bible said it profit you none, lest you have charity. What's charity? What is charity? Is it benevolence? Well, it falls in that. So if you're benevolent, do you have charity? No, you could be benevolent and not have charity. You see, we're talking discernment. If you give all that you've got and have not charity, so but if you gave everything you got, that's a charitable act. They said it profits you nothing. So we got to differentiate between giving and charity. When you have charity, you're a giver. But you could be a giver without the charity or the love of God. What's your motivating factor? What motivates you? What motivates you in your actions? What motivates you in your speech? What motivates you? People could talk about God, but the motivating factor isn't the Spirit of God. That's motivating them. Sometimes there's a fleshly exuberance to show lording over or wanting preeminence in their flesh, preeminence in their mind. Man, bless God, I've read my Bible. And they want a preeminence over people because they sit under a great man of God or a great teacher or a great individual or went to some great meetings or this and that, and they want to show a preeminence over people, and their motivating factor in their conversation about the things of God is to show a dominion or authority or something over you. See, that's not God. Let me tell you something. A man that could be a Bible scholar, and I mean know his Bible inside and out, that's not me. But I'm saying a man could be one of those, but when he gets and he's listening to the Spirit, he could be down in such simplistic little baby food. You understand that? Sometimes the big macho daddy's got to take the little cup, little teaspoon, give it to the little baby. And that's the same way, brothers and sisters, when you're led by the Spirit, you're not speaking God's word to show mastery, to show some kind of a superior understanding. You don't talk to people in these denominational works with some kind of a superior mindset. You kill them. You want to go with the love of God. Help them. Love them. Work with them. Look for an opportunity to say something for the Lord. Sometimes it takes days and weeks and months. I shared where I've been working with a man 12, 13 years, trying to bring him to the revelation of the Lord, trying to look for the opportunity and stuff. And I warned another man. I said, don't. I said, I've been working with this man a long time. But all my labors and all my efforts one man took was zeal of discord, zeal of strife, zeal of gossip, and just a busybody, household to household, and destroyed all my labors for all those years. That's sad. You know, a man could stand before the Lord for those kind of things, for smiting a man of God and a shepherd and coming against God's work. You don't come against God's things and God's people. I'm the least of any of you. I'm the least of any in the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you what, God hears my prayers. And I pray to God, have mercy, show mercy. But I have given my life to win souls. And the things is, I've poured my heart out. Don't get in the way of winning souls. When the preacher's pouring his heart out and trying to win a soul and trying to sacrifice and trying to do those things, don't ever get in the way of that. That's not the place to be, ever. Don't ever want to be there. The Bible said, don't grieve the man of God. If you grieve the man of God, it said it's not profitable to grieve the man of God. And you say, oh, I don't think it much matters. Well, just keep on going and you'll find out that it's not profitable to grieve God's man. Amen. Because the only reason God's man's grieved is because God's grieved. That's why. And I'm still the least of any of you. I promise you that. But I'm just saying that I just know the word and know what the Bible says. I've got to line up with this Bible. I've got to line up with this word. Amen. And the thing is, I've grieved the man of God before. That's why I went and I said, I would rather be beaten. I said, I'd rather put my hands around the pole and be beaten. That's what I feel like I'm going through for what I've done. And the great man of God made the same statement. He said, I've been there, brother. I know exactly what you're saying. Amen. Just pray that God's grace will be sufficient for you. Have you ever prayed like that? I have. Say, God, have mercy on me. God, help me. God, strengthen me. God, grant repentance unto me. Grant forgiveness unto me. But help me, Lord God, that I never walk in that path ever again. And when you've been down that trail and been down that path, sometimes you get wisdom and thinking and you recognize the course and you recognize that old trail and you get off of it. You say, I don't like this. I don't like this trail. No more. You know, we have a theme song sometimes here at Christian Temple. I'll ride that trail again. I'll ride it one more time. Amen. And you think, well, there's a positive, very beautiful song there that Brother Pike wrote. But also, on the other hand, so I stood on the back steps out there with a man. As he stood there and cried, he said, Brother, I don't even know why you let me back in this church. I've been so wretched. I've come against you. I've done everything to cause you problems, everything I could. And he said, I don't even see why you let me back in. I said, well, I love you. And I said, but we're going to ride the trail again. I pray and hope you can conquer it this time. But I owe this to you to tell you we'll ride the trail again. And we did. And he didn't conquer again. As he had a spirit of bitterness eating him alive. And the pastor was innocent. Done nothing but good. As they despitefully used me and spoke all matter of evil against me. And was doing those things. And I still loved them and done good. And continued to do good. And they spoke all matter of evil and coming against. And sorrow, heartaches, and death, and many things have come on their door. God could have added a number of years to health. You understand that? And many things. But I'll tell you, we're serving a God that has his way in the good and in the evil. And you say, well, are we supposed to have fear, Brother Rob, what we say and what we do? To God, yes. And you know, if the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, do you fear him? Do you truly have fear of God? If you was a little ant, and you're going down the sidewalk, I think you should have fear of man walking down that sidewalk. The Bible said, speaking about the Lord, you'll run into him just like a she-bear being robbed of her cubs. He says he'll rend you into pieces. You know, you think, God can't be that way. Have you read his Bible? Have you read what kind of God we're serving? I serve God with fear and trembling. I serve his word to the best of my ability. And you say, what can I do to please him? Die. That's it. mortify, die out. Otherwise, you won't know him, please him, or ever see him. And when you die, you make room for him in his spirit. I'll tell you, there's nothing else important. Nothing is important. Nothing. If you had nothing, had no home, no car, no clothing on your back, and nothing, but you had God, you have everything. There's nothing as important as the spirit world and spirit life with Jesus Christ. Everything of this world is a snare of Satan. Everything this world's got is a snare. Everything. Everything. Because everything he's got in this world, he wants us to get our eyes on it before we get our eyes off God. That's why the poor receive him gladly, because they don't have nothing. And they receive him gladly. Yes, a rich can receive God. The rich can receive God, and they can have salvation. It's hard because they're haughty. Rich answereth haughtily. The Bible's correct and right. And they're haughty. I've seen God raise up people that were nothing and raised them up and started blessing them in finance. They get haughty. Haughty spirit comes before the fall, the crash, the burn. Amen. And God has a way, brothers and sisters, in all things. He would rather bust you up. He would rather you suffer and cease from sin. He would rather you learn obedience by the things that you suffer and have him. Amen. You see, don't put no assurance in this flesh, no confidence in the flesh, nothing in the flesh. Don't put anything towards the flesh, no strength in the flesh, no strength in anything this world's got. Put no trust in the government, put no trust in yourself, none, no confidence in the flesh, none, no confidence in this world, no confidence. The only thing that you should have confidence in is Jesus. He's the overcomer. He's the one that fulfilled all things. He's the one that abolished death. And the only way you'll abolish death is by being in him. And the only way you could be in him, brothers and sisters, is ye must die that he can live. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, that's how you'll save it. And when you save it, it'll be in him. That's the only salvation, is in him. And if you're not godly and holy and virtuous and righteous, you can't be in him, because he's godly, holy, virtuous, and righteous. And let him manifest in you. This might be your last night. You could take your last breath. This could be the end of all things. You might live another 100 years. Don't know. But let's get serious with God. Let's put as much determination. We sing a song in the house of God here, just talking with you. We sing a song here in the house of God about silver and gold and how that we love him more than silver and gold. And do we? The Bible speaks about where man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. Where's your heart? Where's your treasure? Where are the things of God? You know, brothers and sisters, do we spend as much time trying to please God as we do ourselves? We're back to what we started out with. Who did you yield yourself today? What spirit are you of? What spirit spoke to you? What spirit motivated you? Were you motivated by your bills, your finances? Were you motivated by your obligations? You see, when I was in the contracting business, I had obligations. You brethren have obligations. You make commitments. You got builders. You got to please them. You got contracts, you're a contractor, you've got to please that. But let me ask you a question, does that preeminent over God? Now the thing is when you're following God and you're sensitive to the spirit world, those things will be fulfilled because God doesn't want you to bring a reproach. But when you take those things as more important than God and God's things and God's people and God's house and God's word, then it become a curse. And what you think could be a blessing could be a curse. And sometimes people have troubles identifying the difference. And we've spoke about it many times. One substance could be a curse. And ever though the poor would look on and the people that would look on through eyes of natural observation and desire what they have and want it and desire it. And even lust after it. But then yet, it could be a curse. And then another person could have a blessing. Amen. Don't covet your neighbor's things or goods. Find the mind of God. Find out what God would have you to do. And I'll promise you something. Find the secrets of God. You know, the mysteries of God. Find those things. Seek after those mysteries and the secrets of the Lord. We try to share some of them with you here. And they'll be more a mystery to you or a secret until you really press into it and try it. But God has a way. He has a way. And he'll fulfill all things. He can fulfill every fleshly need that you have and desire in him. He could fill that. He can fill every physical need, every natural need, and every spiritual need. God doesn't leave anything out. Everything's covered and everything's accomplished and everything's taken care of. Have you learned to trust Him, surrender to Him and all? Let's stand together. Just talking with you a little bit this evening. I appreciate you taking time tonight to come out to the house of God. I just pray that you will hear and listen to the still small voice of God that speaks to you when you leave the house of God, that speaks to you when you're driving in your car or your truck, that's speaking to you when you lay down in your bed, that's speaking to you when you try to sleep, that's talking to you when you wake up in the morning. Stay upon Him, thoughts upon Him. Fall in love with Jesus. Let Him be the preeminent thought, the preeminent one in your life. Seek His Spirit, listen for Him to speak. He'll lead you into the paths of righteousness. He'll take you into your workplaces and accomplish your jobs and your tasks. He'll give you a good name within and without. You'll have a good name with builders and contractors, and you'll have a good name with businesses and things when you're Spirit-led. You won't be a reproach. You won't bring a reproach to the name of God. You'll have a good name if you're Spirit-led. You'll have a strong business. He'll raise your business up. He'll let it prosper, and He'll bring in abundance of blessings to you when you're Spirit-led and following after His Spirit. It all falls within the same category of being led by the Spirit of God. He'll lead you and guide you into all truths. He'll let your substance abide forever and ever and ever and ever. Be put to a place that rust and decay can't get to it. It could be hid into a place that it won't be a curse nor testify against you on the day of judgment. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to walk in the Spirit. It's a blessing to be led by the Lord. It's a blessing to see beyond the veil. It's a blessing to have your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. Amen. I encourage you in the Lord to press in, to submit yourself. Give your body as a living sacrifice. Do more for the Lord. I challenge you to try to discern spirits of your friends, both men and women alike. I challenge you to discern their spirit and see if their name be in the book of life. You won't know so oftentimes by the actions, but you'll know by the Spirit. Because sometimes people's actions may not be right, but God's got their hand on them and He'll pull them out of the things that aren't right. He said He'll pull you out of the mire and the clay, and He'll cleanse you and wash you and set you apart. Amen. And sometimes actions could be a lying sign and wonder. It's something the devil will use to get a foothold in your soul, that he's got a foothold and says, yes, this is a good deed, this is a good thing, and he's got a foothold in your soul. Commit all of your works, all of your mind, all of your labor, all of your thoughts, every single thing of you to Him, 100%. That's required of you. That's just reasonable. Amen. And you'll be blessed. He'll add an increase to you. Amen. It's wonderful to walk in the blessings of the living God. Pray for the brotherhood. Pray that God will let them prosper and bless them in what they put their hand to and what they touch in their labors and their efforts. Amen. That's the way I pray. And God meets our needs and answers our prayers. Amen. Pray whatever you touch will be blessed and bring glory to God. Let it bring glory to the Lord. If it doesn't bring glory to God, it's not worth having. If it doesn't testify the Lord Jesus Christ, it ain't worth touching. Let it testify the Lord. Amen. Let's sing All Praise Him as Brother Randy Gilbert comes to dismiss the service.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.